McGill Daily of the Daily.
I'm McGill Daily.
Hi, I'm calling from the McGill Daily. Can I ask you some questions?
Is anyone using this
a little bit problematic?
News.
Are you designed? Could I see you for a second?
We're going to cap this.
Discussion. News, can you dummy?
Did that story come in yet?
Editorial's in 5 minutes.
McGill Daily.
Unfit to print.
You're listening to Unfit to Print, a McGill Daily and CKUT news collaboration. This is Nyusha Bastani. Unfit to Print is a student-produced bi-weekly show that brings the latest of McGill and Montreal news. On today's program, we'll be hearing from Adam McKenzie, who is involved with the organization McGill Against Austerity, and we'll be speaking about the McGill's contingent involvement with the FAE, Fédération Autonome de l'Enseignement, protest that was held on Saturday the 16th. We'll then hear from Emily Boytink, who is the Student Society of McGill University, SMU VP External. She will be speaking about the recent SMU motion to call a referendum to increase the SMU membership fee and the restructuring of SMU executive portfolios. But first, headlines. The Fédération Autonome de l'Enseignement, FAE, a Quebec-wide teachers' union representing more than 34,000 French-language teachers in Quebec, held a rally on January 16th to protest recent budget cuts to Quebec's public school system, which have forced some schools to close due to lack of maintenance or funding. At least 100 teachers, parents of students, and other supporters gathered in front of the historic Maisonneuve Market and subsequently marched through the streets of the Hochelaga-Maisonneuve district, stopping by several schools in disrepair, emphasizing what they claimed were the repercussions of the government's actions. Over 100 students gathered at the Student Society of McGill University SMU Ballroom on January 20th, where the Muslim Student Association, MSA, and a number of McGill Christian clubs, including McGill Christian Fellowship, Newman Catholic Society, Power to Change, ICON, and International Student Ministries, organized an interfaith dialogue. The event was part of Uncover McGill, a week-long initiative by Christian groups in McGill to discuss spiritual questions. Mohammed Jabara, chief imam and resident scholar at the Cordova Spiritual Education Center, and Abdu Murray, the scholar in residence of Christian thought and apologetics at the Josh McDowell Institute of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, came together to discuss the question, who is God? As a result of more relaxed measures by Immigration Quebec over the last 2 years, it has become significantly easier for international students to run for and hold executive positions at the Student Society of McGill University, SMU. In June 2014, Citizenship and Immigration Canada, CIC, issued a new set of regulations regarding study permits, which require students to be actively pursuing their studies while in Canada. The CIC does not state anywhere that students must maintain full-time status to qualify as actively pursuing their studies, said Pauline Lecuyer, Director of International Student Services, ISS, at McGill. Immigration Quebec, over the last 2 years, it has become significantly easier for international students to run for and hold executive positions at the Student Society of McGill University, SMU. In June 2014, Citizenship and Immigration Canada, CIC, issued a new set of regulations regarding study permits, which require students to be actively pursuing their studies while in Canada. The CIC does not state anywhere that students must maintain full-time status to qualify as actively pursuing their studies, said Pauline Lecuyer, Director of International Student Services, ISS, at McGill. For more in-depth coverage of the news stories, please visit mcgilldaily.com. Now you'll be hearing from Adam McKenzie, a member of McGill Against Austerity, and one of the main organizers of the McGill contingent organizing to protest in solidarity with the FAE demonstration on Saturday the 16th.
All right, hi. My name is Xavier Richevis with the McGill Daily. I'm here talking with Adam McKenzie.
Hi, I'm Adam McKenzie.
Tell me a little bit about the demonstration, what it meant and who you are, and if you just want to preface it with anything.
Okay, so I went to a demonstration representing McGill Against Austerity, which is a student group here at McGill, which specifically focuses on spreading education, spreading information about austerity, how it's affecting students here at McGill, and how it's affecting Greater Quebec society. And we went to this demonstration to stand in solidarity with the teachers and their continuing struggle against austerity, specifically for them, cuts to their salary, increasing class sizes, decreasing help to special needs students, and school closures, and a series of other related symptoms of budget cuts to public education.
Right. You just mentioned the fact that these budget cuts are being protested, but they're also being protested specifically because they affect special needs programs, and they also and I think they also affect disproportionately less affluent communities, I think, in Quebec. So I'm guessing you were also there for that.
For sure.
But let me ask you a question. This is an issue that affects a lot of Quebec. Is there a reason why McGill readers, who there's a large percentage of, are international students? Can you tell us why they should care about it specifically?
Well, in general, I think this is a issue that affects everyone. It's neoliberalism is kind of the dominant ideology right now, going through the economic world at least, and austerity is being felt all over the globe, Europe, Greece especially, for sure, Britain, and in general, in terms of social justice, I don't think it needs to be a specific issue that affects yourself, why you should get involved. Like, I go to McGill, I come from a middle class Montreal family, like, honestly, I'm not being affected by austerity, but the point is, well, for me at least, is to stand in solidarity with others who are less fortunate or have greater impacts. Austerity has a greater impact on their lives, and if we can find ways to improve their lot, then I think we should go for it. It's not a matter of just caring, why you should care. It's a matter of looking at an issue and seeing whether it's just or not, and then acting accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And I spoke to a couple protesters at the demonstration, and they were talking specifically about the Couillard government. And they were saying that the government has done very little to nothing to actually help with these budget cuts. Now, recently there was an announcement from the Quebec Education Minister, François Blais, if I'm correct, and he did announce very recently, I can't remember the exact figure, I'm going to say it's wrong, it's around 500, I think it was 500 million, and he reinvesting in Quebec, but a lot of people saying it's still not enough. So, I mean, what could you expect from the Quebec government? Are there any real demands, I would say, or is there any real specifics to it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
What do you mean? Like, what I want from the Quebec government? Or
I guess
what
I'm
expect
of,
them to...
Yeah. What are you expecting exactly?
Well, without any further pressure tactics, I don't expect the Quebec government to give much. Like, from what we've seen with their negotiations with the teachers' union especially, they are very frigid, and they're trying to play hardball as much as possible. Like, only recently, after the December strikes over the holidays, they came to a kind of tentative deal with the rest of the Front commun. But the teachers' union has, not only the teachers' union has strong mandates, almost 90% in a lot of local unions against austerity measures, but they also have a lot of support from the communities. For example, Je protège mon école publique, which is a parent-led initiative to protect public education, protect their children, protect quality education, and protect from school closures. So the Quebec government has a lot to fight against, and I can't really act. I don't think I can accurately predict like what their next move will be, but in looking at what they've done so far, I think they're going to try to continue playing hardball.
Right.
At least into the spring, and then we'll see how that happens.
I wanted to ask you, so McGill Against Austerity, I'm assuming, goes to a bunch of demonstrations. Do the governments ever give a verbal response to any of these protests, or do they try to ignore them? Do they, I'm guessing, do they have their ear to the ground, or what exactly, do you ever get a response, is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, it depends who's organizing the demonstration, what the demonstration's for.
Yeah.
The unions, they will talk to the unions, because unions are an established institution within Quebec society, and they have huge mobilizing power. Mm-hmm. If you look at the 2012 student strikes, they tried to ignore them until they couldn't. And then they tried to dismiss them. There was an entire smear campaign until the government was defeated in an election.
Yes.
But never did they give, like, they gave them, like, inches when, like, kilometers of distance was needed to be covered for them to talk. So, honest, like, the government is listening, but they're listening when big demonstrations happen, when economic interruptions are caused by street demonstrations. Mm-hmm. I don't think the government is interested, doesn't really care for, like, when they have their ear to the ground, they don't care for the community. They have their own interests.
Right.
The government is trying to push an agenda that disproportionately affects the least affluent society and benefits the most affluent. They gave a bunch of tax cuts to corporations in their budget. Mm-hmm. They even raised their own salaries. So, I think we all know where the Quebec government has its partisan ties, and I don't think it's to the great majority of Quebecers, and especially not to the workers.
So you mentioned the previous government. I'm assuming you were talking about Pauline Marois' government, or are you talking
about... I was talking about Charest.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Pauline Marois was also not the nicest to student groups.
Uh-huh, yeah,
I have a P6 ticket. Just in terms of McGillian's austerity, we have two workshops tomorrow and Wednesday, or I think is, yeah, tomorrow and Wednesday, on Austerity 101, so basically just how austerity is affecting students at McGill and how it's affecting it's affecting other people across the province way more, women's groups, Aboriginal groups, healthcare is, like, when you have budget cuts to healthcare, it's not just reduction in services. It could cost people, like, time to recover, quality of life, lots of things like that. So what we're trying to do is educate and mobilize the McGill community more towards defeating this goal of the Liberal government. And just in case anyone wants to check us out or whatever, we have our Facebook page. We'll be posting our weekly meeting times soon, within the next week or so, and then anyone's free to join those. And that's about it.
All right. It's too bad I didn't get to see you last Saturday, of course, but thank you again for talking to us, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
No worries, man.
That was Adam McKenzie talking about the recent demonstration with FAE that happened on January 16th. Thank you. Now you'll be hearing from Emily Boitink, who will be talking about the recent proposals from SMU to increase the base membership fee and add a seventh executive position.
So I guess most of these questions are pretty just general questions about SMU since it's mid-year. And then the first one is, I guess, referring back to the previous term where there was a forum held by SMU on the restructuring of SMU. And I don't think you were there for the actual forum, but I was wondering if you can comment on some of the suggestions or like comments that were made.
Yeah, so we this year as executives have noticed that our workload is increasingly unsustainable. Most of us work upwards of 80 hours per week and it becomes really strenuous. We end up making silly mistakes. We get bogged down in administrative tasks and aren't able to fulfill our campaign promises. So we're noticing that lack of support, and we realized that there are a lot of tasks which could really fit nicely together in the position of a seventh executive. So we went through a lot of different scenarios. We sat down together and we listed out all the different areas of our portfolios and where they could be shuffled around. And we came up with a proposal that we think is fairly accurate in terms of the distribution of tasks between each of the executive portfolios. And we presented that to students. We had a forum on SMU restructuring. We talked about it a lot at council. We went back and forth on a couple things a couple different times. And we actually proposed that we put forward this restructuring in a special referendum that's happening right now, speaking on behalf of a Yes Committee campaigner. I just want to say that this is going to significantly improve the services that SMU is able to offer. By delegating tasks, it means that the executives won't be so burnt out by the end of their tasks. They'll actually be able to fulfill their campaign promises and fulfill the projects that they ran on, which I think is really, really important for a student union.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other concerns that I've been hearing, I guess, also related to the SMU forum on restructuring is just the general like student apathy, I guess, towards SMU. And I guess you can see that sort of during the elections where there's a low voter turnout. So was there any comments on that or anything to improve that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't actually believe in student apathy. I think that any sort of student apathy or calls of student apathy are, you know, the fault of SMU. It's our responsibility to engage our membership, and that's something that I think actually will be improved upon with the addition of, you know, a seventh executive or additional support staff, because at this point, the executives are really operating at sort of the base capacity, just trying to get everything done, and it can be really hard to go above and beyond. I do think it's absolutely necessary, though. A lot of students are engaged with SMU, even if they don't know it. Like, we support over 270 student groups, whether they be clubs, services, or independent student groups. And so many, just thousands and thousands of students are involved in those programs. There are thousands of students that come into our bar or go to our student-run cafeteria or use our building or come to events in the space. There are so many ways that people engage with SMU without even knowing it, that it's important that we become better at communicating that. And I think that this year, you know, this semester, now that we have a VP internal who can dedicate their time to that, that's something that Omar really wants to work on, is mm-hmm. really focusing on student engagement. So hopefully we will improve on that this semester.
Okay. So you already mentioned the hiring of a seventh executive. And one of the other major changes, I guess, that was proposed this term was the fee increase. So would you like to speak about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, speaking as a Yes Committee campaigner, I believe the base fee is absolutely essential for ensuring the long-term financial sustainability of the organization. While the fee has increased with inflation and it increases with population, there has been an increase in students involved in clubs and services above and beyond population growth and inflation that just makes our ability to support these groups just totally not viable. And, you know, the majority of our permanent staff, as well as many of our student staff, go towards this basic function. Our highest priority is SMU supporting clubs and services, and that's something that we are just not able to do to the caliber that I think that they deserve. It's also, we have student-identified priorities that were listed in the student experience survey and in a lot of referenda and other consultation processes, such as increased mental health resources and increased student space, improved student space, and that's just something that we don't currently have the budget to sustain, and it goes so much beyond just our like mental health programming, but also our long-term capital reserve fund is used to make We want to make a mental health space out of it. We want to continue our Happy Light lending program. There's all sorts of programs that we want to be able to continue for students, but are just becoming increasingly unviable with our current budget.
Mm-hmm. And what's the fee increase that's being proposed right now?
It's $5.50 per student per semester. Do you want me to break that down a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
So about 40% of it is going towards what we call like financial sustainability. So about $50,000 will be going towards restoring our capital reserve fund, and about $50,000 will be going to restoring salaries. So this year we had a lot of resignations, and so salaries, that budget that would have been allocated to salaries, was freed up, and we are able to use it in our general operating budget, but that obviously is not a sustainable thing. Next year, hopefully, we will have a full staff team on board, so that $50,000 will have to come from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Another 25% or so are going to these student priorities, so those are increased student space. We want to increase our club fund allocation by $25,000 every year. We want to cut the leases of independent student groups that use our building, and we want to increase more money towards mental health programming. And then finally, the last chunk of our fee increase will go towards student staff. So whether that be towards a seventh executive or an additional support staff, and to a number of new student jobs paid at a fair and reasonable wage, because we believe that our student staff are so essential, and it's a really win-win situation. We have our student staff who are able to do more work and provide a better service to students across campus, but also we're able to offer, you know, good employment opportunities for students while they're studying.
Mm-hmm. So when can students expect to be voting on this referendum?
Yeah, so the referendum will be January 27th to 29th. Voting opens on the Wednesday and closes on the Friday.
Okay, all right. I think that's like pretty much all the questions I had. Cool. Thank you so much for coming to do this interview.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That was Emily Boyding, SMU's VP External, who spoke about the recent motions and amendments proposed by SMU this month. That does it for this edition of Unfit to Print on CKUT 90.3 FM. Make sure to tune in 2 weeks to check out our next episode. In the meantime, check out our previous coverage and podcasts on mcgilldaily.com/podcasts or pick up a print copy.
Unfit to Print.